Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Praise God. All right, let's pray. Let's get into the Word. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding will come forth in and through your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's look at something tonight. I want to talk on advancing in destiny. Now, it's important because I thought this message in Abuja, October, and I felt it was something we needed to understand about advancing in destiny. So what I'm going to do is this Wednesday and next Wednesday, we're going to finish it up. But I need you to pay close attention. The word advance is three things. Number one, the word advance means to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward in a purposeful way. Now, why that is important is because we cannot talk of advancement if there is no purpose. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? We can't talk of advancement if there is no purpose. That means before we can talk about advancement, there must be areas of measurement. You've got to follow that. So when we talk of advancing in destiny, we're not just talking of progress. We're not just talking of movement. Right? Because if I'm to go forward, if my aim is to get to this speaker right here in front, and I'm moving backward, am I moving? Have you eaten today? Okay, I'll try again. My aim is to get to this speaker, but I'm moving backwards. Am I moving? Who said no? Okay, who said yes? Who think I'm moving? I am moving, but what? In a wrong direction. So advancement can only be understood when direction is known. Are you following this now? So we cannot say a man is making progress if we don't know what progress is for that man. I can see you moving, but I can't tell if that movement is progress. I want you to follow very carefully so you don't miss it, because sometimes we think advancement is acquisition. But that's not how God defines advancement. God defines advancement as it relates to purpose. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? The measurements, this is the foundation of the message, so we've got to understand it. The measurement of advancement is movement in a purposeful direction, or to make progress, or a forward movement. The key is not just about the movement. The key is the movement in which direction. Because there are earthly advancements. There are earthly advancements. So a man can actually be advancing, pay attention now, in life, but he is not advancing in destiny. Did you hear that? A man can make progress in life, but when you put that progress in line with his destiny, he's not making progress. And I'll show you from scriptures. So what I'm teaching you is not advancement in life. What I'm teaching you is advancing in destiny. That's important. So advancement is not just movement. It's not even just about forward movement. It is movement based on a preordained destination. For instance, when I was coming back from Nairobi, the flight took 4 hours, 59 minutes. But when I got to the airport, my destination is Lagos. That's my destination, right? Right? So, my destination is Lagos. The word destination is where the word destiny comes from. Pre is the word before. So, predestination is the destination that has been arranged before you were born from the foundation of the world. Everything God measures in your life is what He has ordained you to be before. Are you following this now? Okay. So my intention is to get to Lagos. Now, that's not what happened. This is an example. Now I get to the airport and I get a flight going to Amsterdam, Schiphol Airport in Holland. Have I made progress? Because you heard Holland. Holland is better than Lagos, Abby. I haven't made progress. No, I haven't made progress. Because what's my destination? Are you following this at all? What's my destination? Lagos. But the plane I entered, example, where was it headed to? Amsterdam. Which one is farther? The answer is Amsterdam. Just say Amsterdam, like you know it. Which one is farther? Amsterdam. But is that progress? Because if I'm going to come back from Holland back to Lagos, it's going to cost me more time. Now, when people see the plane taking off, what are they going to say? This man is flying. He's even going to as far as Amsterdam. You know, the name even is longer than Lagos. It looks like it would make more sense than Lagos. But where do you think Sister Mary would want me to be on Monday night? Lagos. So her predestination for me and the family and the church is Lagos. Even though Amsterdam looks better, even though Amsterdam looks farther, even though I'm going to spend more money getting to Amsterdam, I've actually failed because the measurement of my journey has to be Lagos. That's how God measures people. God does not measure you by what you own. God measures you by what He has decided for you to become from the foundation of the world. So listen carefully to this and don't miss this as we get into next year. Success and failure in the eyes of God is measured differently. A man can be successful in the world, but he's a failure in the eyes of God. Why? Because he went to Amsterdam instead of coming to Lagos. Do you get this? So when we talk about advancing in destiny, we're talking about advancing in what God wants you to be from the foundation of the world. Because sometimes when we say, oh, Lord, you know, when we talk about destiny in church, the one thing that comes to our mind is what? More cars. Come on now, talk to me. Hello? Are you here or you're going home? Huh? If I say today, I pray that God will cause you to advance in destiny. Come on, what's coming to your mind? What's coming to your mind? When you say, I receive, what's coming to your mind? Talk to me, church. What's coming to your mind? More money. That's my church member. More money. But how many of you think God thinks differently about that? And how many of you know if we don't think like God thinks, we cannot become the people that God wants us to become? Come on, pay attention to this. Until we see from the eyes of God and know from the mind of God, we'll never fulfill purpose on the earth. We'll always allow our lives to be dictated by the measurements of men. You know, some of you think right now you are a failure. Meanwhile, in the eyes of God, you're successful. And meanwhile, some of us think we're success on the earth, but we're failures in the eyes of God. As you get into next year, your rating in the eyes of God must become stronger than your rating in the eyes of men. So, let's continue. So, advancement is not just movement, but forward movement. Moving forward in a purposeful way. God wants us to make progress with purpose in mind, intentionality, and deliberate movement. Our destiny is who we were born to become in this life. Let me say it very carefully so you don't miss it. No one can change your destiny. Let me just put it that way. Alright? Forget that. I know you've watched it in a film that they exchange somebody's head. It can happen in Hollywood. Okay? I know right now I'm contending with years of, I don't even know any Hollywood, and I'm trying to think of a Hollywood actor and actress now, but the name that's coming to my mind, I know it's very old, but I don't want you to feel like I'm an old school person, so I'll just skip it. Your choices changes your destiny, not man. So we say, oh, but Esau and Jacob, they exchanged destiny. No, he bought porridge with it. He bought food with it. It's not a man that exchanged it. Come on now. What happened? His choices altered it. Are you following this? So, our destiny is who we're born to become in this life. Our destiny can be referred to as purpose. God's original plan for our lives before our birth. Not many people live out their purpose. And you know, I'm thinking, God help me. I was thinking like, I need to really kind of teach this purpose thing very well, because some of us use the motivational aspect of life to teach purpose. So I'll tell you something. Somebody say, what's your purpose? He says, it's what I'm good at. No, your purpose is not exactly what you're good at. Your purpose is what God wants you to do. God can make you do something you're not good at, and then His grace enables you for it. Right? God told Moses to go lead the children of Israel. What did Moses say? I cannot speak. What happened? Aaron was called. Because I've also seen people do that, and they say, well, I'm good at playing football, so my purpose is football, and they never go to school. So your purpose is your assignment, is what God is calling you to do. And deep on the inside, you've got to find that. You've got to know it. Right? Now, let's look at this. What are some examples? Is somebody touching the clock upstairs there? What's happening? I've never started teaching. Jeremiah 1:5. Let's see here. See, I guess. If I don't finish, you come on Christmas Day. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. The Bible says, now before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Who was God talking to here? He was talking to a young boy. In fact, verse 6 says, then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. How come God calls a man who doesn't know how to speak to become a prophet? When the major work of a prophet is to speak. That means, listen carefully to this, God can call you into something you don't feel equipped for. Hello? But what happens? The Lord says, I like the way the Lord replies. But the Lord says, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to him, do not say, I'm a youth. Everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Everywhere I send you. That means when Prophet Jeremiah was going somewhere, the Lord has a destination in mind for where Jeremiah was going. That becomes progress for him. How many of you know that God's got a destination for you next year? What He wants you to do, where He wants you to be, what He wants you to accomplish. That's progress. Are you following this now? Talk to me. Are you following this now? So advancing in destiny is not just advancing in life. If Jeremiah had been a successful engineer, he would have been a failure because God wanted him to be a prophet. See, as Christians and as children of God, this needs to weigh strong in our heart. You know, sometimes we are carried away by a lot of selfishness. We live in a very materialistic society. Money drives us. Unfortunately, even for Christians, money has become God. The reason why a lot of people cannot commit to God is because of all of this. And you know, I have to put it up. Because I see a lot of things going on right now. And then people, you know, people just talk all the time. You know, a pastor should get something to do so that he will not beg his members money. A pastor should get something to do. You cannot just say God has called you to full time. And that thing being pushed out there is unbelief in the name of wisdom. Because people are getting too stingy to give to the kingdom. Now they want everybody running after money like the way they do. There's something about trusting God to come true for you. There's something about raw faith, believing that God has a plan for your life. And you can follow that plan and trust God to provide for you where that plan is concerned. Whether it's in the ministry, whether it's for your family, whether it's for your children. Are you following what I'm saying? Whether it's for your business. There's a purpose. And it's advancing in that that becomes advancing in destiny. Can we look at Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1? Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 1. Glory to God. It says, "Behold, now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine. Before you were born." One of the things that helped us growing up in our Christian race was with the fact that when we got born again on time, they told us to find out what God wanted for us. How many of you know that? Huh? We were not going for hammer nights. Oh God, change my story. Oh God, change my story. Oh God, change my story. You know, immediately you get born again now, the messages you hear make you feel that something is wrong with you. Even if there's nothing wrong. So everybody's anxious to just, I don't know. You know, I was going to Kenya. I sat with some women. So one of them looked at me. So I think I wanted to teach something, but then while we were flying, the Lord was giving me a message on what to teach at Dear Timothy. So what I taught for the, you know, I landed like 5:30, 6, 7 o'clock, 7:30. Then before we went through all the traffic and got to the hotel, was 8 o'clock. And then the pastor was like, "Yeah, let's go. We'll start the service and you come and join us later." And I told him, I don't go late for my meetings. So I just changed 8:30. Then I taught for like 4 hours straight. So what I taught that 4 hours was what I got on the plane. So as I was typing the message, one woman looked at me and said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a preacher." He said, "Oh, so where are you going?" I said, "Kenya." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to teach." So I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "We're going to Dubai." So I said, "Oh, wow, awesome." He said, "Ah, there's this company." So I said, "Don't worry, I'm not interested." He said, "Ah, this one will not take your time. It's just to look for two people, you know them. You know where we're going." So I said, "I'm really not interested. I said, my life is busy enough." He said, "Yes, but I can give you more money." I said, "I don't want more money." He said, "Eh?" I said, "What told you I don't want more money? Do you understand it? I'm not driven by having more." That's a bait right there. It looks like it's a good thing. Want more money help us? No, more money won't really help us. Absolute obedience will. Because sometimes you can have money and pay your way out of the will of God. Jonah went to Tarsus because he had transport fare. What God wanted him to go to is Nineveh. Sometimes the inability to afford some things will keep you in the will of God. You know, some people are righteous now because they can't pay for sin. You understand that? When you have money now, you will stay at home again. The checking you say, I'm sorry, I'm discussing some things. Meanwhile, you are drinking beer with girls. But when you are poor, you don't have anywhere to go. Say, where are you? Say, I'm with my wife. And God, they keep him that way. The man will stay faithful being broke. Because God is more interested in your obedience and your righteousness than... Do you understand that? I mean, you laugh about this, but do you remember what the Lord told them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18? He says, you would remember the Lord your God who gives you power to get wealth, lest you say... Because once a man starts saying, the work of my hands has produced this, he would want to control his life. Are you following this now? Advancing in destiny. We're still talking about advancing in destiny. So we make progress. We're not just driven by more money. We're not just driven by more opportunities. Right? We're not just driven by more, what do you call it now? Whatever drives the world. Let's look at another story. Genesis 45, 7. Joseph. You know, the pressure that lifts from your life when some of the things of this world don't weigh on your shoulders. Life can be so interesting. Ah, man. Some people are under pressure. You know, December 25th is coming. They want to celebrate the birthday of... They don't want to disappoint Jesus. And you can see the pressure. My wife told me something. She saw it somewhere. That people, they are not hearing Jingle Bell now, whether the bell has been broken. You know, things are expensive now. So in Nigeria, they want to ring the bell very close to Christmas. But things are going on. I mean, I'm praying for you that the Lord would help you. Things are expensive. So I'm really praying for you guys. And one of the ways to just not feel that pressure is just forget that it's Christmas. Think like this is June. And then when you appear in January, you fast forward the calendar again. All right, Genesis 45, 7. All right, then. And if you are feeling very, you know, like on Christmas Day, there's nowhere to go, there's no rise, there's no city, who keep the church doors open? Just come and pray. Tell them you're waiting on the Lord, that next year will not be the same again. Bring your whole family here and just tell them that we are waiting on God. We want to change our story in 2022. It will make you prevent cooking on Christmas Day. Then you can just go back home. All right, verse 7. Genesis 45, verse 7. Verse 6, the Bible says, for famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Can you see what Joseph said to his brothers? He says, God sent me ahead so I can preserve you. That's why it was easy for Joseph to forgive his brothers. He saw everything that happened to him in the context of purpose. You know, if there are some of us, even though God sent us, you will not say, you will say, God sent me to preserve your life. Say, God sent me to show you that He's a mighty God. And when you people die of hunger, you will know that my God is alive. How many of you know that God does not promote you to punish people? God does not promote you to do what? To punish people. That prayer that makes you want prosperity to avenge people. God doesn't do pepe dem gang. That's not God's idea. God blesses you because God is a good God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is not trying to bless you so that those who insulted you will praise Him. Whatever happens to you is not a factor of praising God. God is big all by Himself. If you want to be blessed, just be blessed without having that feeling that God is doing this for that. He's not in the competition game. Praise God. But can you see that? Now, pay attention. If Joseph said, the Lord sent me here to preserve your life, that means while he was in prison, he was making progress. Okay. I know your head is fighting that now. While he was in prison, was he making progress? While he was in Potiphar's house, was he making progress? But in the natural, would you consider being sold from your father's house to Potiphar's house progress? Would you consider being... How many of you like... Let me take an example. Okay. If someone goes to prison, would you consider that progress? But in the grand scheme of things, looking from the eyes of God, would you see the life of Joseph as making progress towards purpose? That means the overriding measurement of God for your life is, what have you been sent to do? And that's big. That's big. That is big. That's big. If you can understand this message, it'll help your choices. It'll help how you live. It'll help what you value. Decisions will become a lot more easy to you, because we're going to discover what are some of the things that help people advance in destiny, become more of who God has called them to be, whether in the business world, whether in marriage. It'll help your choices. You know, many people make choices because they don't understand purpose. Praise God. You can advance in life, but not in destiny. So I'm going to just give you, because our time is going, I'll just give you a few examples, okay? So I'll give you three examples. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at people that advanced in life. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Let's read quickly. Come on, come with me very quickly. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And someone came to him and said to him, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" Are you there? Are you there? All right. Verse 18. And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" And this is what I used to preach to young people. The young man said, "I've kept all these things." There was a young man who kept all the law, and Jesus did not say he was lying. Jesus didn't say he was lying. The man kept all the law. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. You can't keep the law and not work in increase. These things will make you work in increase. But you see what? I'll give you something. The day the Lord showed me this in the Bible, it changed my life. Do you realize that this man went away from Jesus grieving? Right? And Jesus now said, "How it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom." Now observe this. Jesus had 12 disciples. He went and called everyone to follow him. In this particular time, Jesus offered this man an opportunity to be his disciple. You know what this man did? He chose riches and walked away from Jesus. Jesus offered him riches. He said, "Go sell everything you have. Then come follow me." Gave him an opportunity to be one of his disciples. And this guy went away, rejected the opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus. So you can observe that this man was progressing in life, but when it comes to the destiny that God ordained for him, he didn't make progress. Did you follow that? The man rejected Jesus' offer. Can you imagine that? You know, some of you, God is giving you opportunity to serve him, but your possessions is making you to reject his offer, or your desire for possessions. And you understand something. I don't preach poverty. I believe that God wants us to increase. But what I'll never do is put money above the will of God, above the purpose of God, above the commitment of God. Look at this young man. He walked away from an opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus. He walked away from advancing his destiny, but he advanced in life. How many of you think if you're looking at a rich young man that Jesus says had much property, you will not think that that man is not advancing in destiny? In fact, you will think that because he's advancing in destiny, that's why God has blessed him so much. Am I right? Come on, talk to me here. Am I right? Let me show you another example. People who advanced in life but not in destiny. The rich fool. Luke chapter 12. And verse 13. Luke 12, 13. Look at this. You know the story of the rich fool, right? Mm-hmm. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Jesus was teaching. Huh? Jesus was teaching. You know, sometimes when we see certain things today, we feel it's strange. There's nothing new under the sun. Like, you know, you can be teaching in church here and somebody's striking business deal on WhatsApp. You would think that he's looking for the scripture. They are looking for you. Huh? You think he's looking for the scripture. You are fine. He's checking for many translations. Meanwhile, he's selling shit. Say, how much? He said, give me the one of gold. He said, pay 2.5. While Jesus was teaching, look at the question this man asked, not about what Jesus was teaching. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Jesus was teaching. Jesus was teaching. Right? Some of you thought if Jesus was alive, he would be a very successful pastor. You know, Jesus was teaching, and somebody raised his hand. And Tony gave him the mic. Pastor, tell my brother to divide our family inheritance. But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware." So Jesus began to use that man to teach. It now changed the message of Jesus. Jesus was teaching something else before the man. So Jesus now just started teaching. He says, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." I'm going to deal with this. Every form of greed. Sometimes we don't know that greed is functioning in our heart, because it has forms. Let's leave that. "For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." So the definition of, pay attention to this, the definition of life for God is different from your own definition. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The way you define life is different from your own definition. So he says, listen, so let's go on quickly, our time is going. "Then he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began to reason to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul," my soul, I will say to my soul, pay attention to that. Did you see what he just said? David said to his soul, "Hold thou in God, why art thou downcast?" This one said to his soul, "You have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Luke chapter 12, verse 19 is everybody's goal. That's the American dream. To retire early and just chill. Relax. Nothing bad with it. But look at what it says. "But God said to him, you fool." There are very few times God said this word. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. Now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Pay attention to that phrase. Is not rich. It didn't say is not rich. It says the man is not rich towards God. The man is rich. Are you following this? But he is not rich towards God. So a man can be rich on the earth, but he's not rich towards God. This man made progress, but he's not rich towards God. Do you realize that when people want to advance in this life, the first thing they cut off from is church? That's the first thing. That's the first thing. If people, "I don't have time," don't worry, I'll follow online. You know, for some people, COVID has become an excuse for backsliding. And that's the truth. I'll say it boldly. There's no two ways about it. Huh? Because that commitment is not there. Just put, go online. Just go. And follow. I know, I attend online classes. We all know ourselves. You can put that in on streaming. Some of you listening to me now, you know you are not listening to me, so I'll say it. You can just put that in. And just go at me cooking stew. You just say, advancing in destiny. Say, amen. You don't even know what I'm saying. Huh? And when the person says what you don't like, I just put it on mute. Say, I was service today. Say, yes, more. That's it. And you want to grow that way. You heard this whole thing coming up, right? They've got Omicron variant. They're expecting fourth wave. They're expecting fifth wave. Listen, they can expect as much wave as they decide to expect. Your longevity is in the reality of knowing that Jesus is your healer. If you follow all the science people, they will lead you to when you will not believe yourself anymore. You will not even know who you are. Because you got all these things coming up all the time. And this is not the worst of diseases we're going to see on the earth. The Bible says, gross darkness shall cover the earth, but light will shine on you. That's when you need to feed on the word more and more and more. And that's when you need to know who you are in Christ and walk in healing and walk in health. Glory to God. This is not the time to slack on. This is the time to double up on our commitment on God. And the world is in dire need of people who believe in the power of Jesus. This is when to go out there and spread the healing gospel of Jesus. It's not the time to relax. This is the time to be rich towards God and give people hope. Praise God. Glory to God. Come on, are you still here? All right. Let's see a few things now. Let's go to Galatians 1:14. So the Lord told him he was going to die that night. You know, sometimes we don't understand stewardship. And we've got to understand it. You know, we almost sometimes live like our life is our own. Huh? You know, someone say, you know, I just want to give some time to my life. I just want to give some time to my life. As if you created yourself. You know, thank God for God, and God is not man. You know, if I was God, and when you boast like that, I would just touch something in your brain. Just, you know how like when you are screwing a knot, you just screw it a bit. Not so much, a bit. And I will screw where you don't value money. So, just find somewhere in your brain that doesn't value money. Then all the money you have made, you will not value it. Or just touch somewhere in your brain, you start seeing money as sand. Then you withdraw all your money and use it to build sand castles. And touch somewhere again where you see sand, like where you can light fire. Then you will light everything. Then I'll now reset it back again. You will now see all the money. Just, you know why I'm not God, right? What I'm trying to say is this. The very faculties with which you claim ownership of your life was given to you by God. The very. Whether it's your intelligence, whether it's your strength, whether it's your relationship, whether it's even the environment you grew up from. Everything that makes us boast about life actually came from God. That should humble us. Right? That should humble us. So, it should humble us to the fact that we meet God and say, so why are we here? Why did you create me? And that's why you understand Daniel in Babylon, right? They said, you can't pray to God. And Daniel says, no way. No way. What happened? The man prayed to God 3 times. Right in the seat of government. That's not even when you have presupposed enemies. That's when you have enemies that you know. Another example would be what? Esther. Huh? And she became queen. And Mordecai met her. Right? And says, hey, they're going to destroy us. And she was like, you know how it is. Like, okay. And thank God for people like Mordecai who know the God that they serve. He said, listen, if help doesn't come from you, God will raise help from somewhere else. Because you're now queen. And says, who know if you were born for such a time as this. And then she took the risk and saved the children of Israel. So you could see that if she had not taken that risk, she would have progressed in life, but not in destiny. Because her destiny, come on, are you following this? Was to save the children of Israel. But progress in life was to be queen. Now, see something. God is not against your progress in life if you understand destiny. Because your progress in life ought to aid your walk in destiny. Why are you diseducated? So you can fulfill God's purpose. Why do you have this opportunity? So you can fulfill God's purpose. Why are you so committed to God? Because this is the age. We are young and we can travel around the world and we can preach for hours and we can do stuff for God. Why not go for it? That's how to advance in destiny. Don't just have friends who encourage you about advancing in life. Have friends, we'll talk about that, who encourage advancement in destiny. When last did your friend ask you if you have prayed? When last did your friend ask you, what book are you reading? You gotta have such friends. Every time you sit down, must not be investments. Huh? Every time you sit down, must not just be talking about, yeah, I don't get it, but every time cannot be that. Souls are dying, souls are perishing. It must be people who believe the word of God, who act on the word of God, who trust the word of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at this. Interesting. Galatians 1:14. Galatians 1:14. Let's look at... Okay. I'll show something here. Let's look at verse 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's read verse 1, right? Then we'll run quickly to verse 14. How much time do I have? Okay. And I'll stop here then. No, I won't stop here. I'll continue a bit. And then I'll stop. Galatians 1:14. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, not through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God, the Father, who raised him from the dead. He wasn't sent by man, not through the agency of man. Paul, an apostle of Jesus. Okay? Now go to verse 11. Go to verse 11 quickly. Come with me to verse 11. Follow me carefully now. He says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For neither I received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a special revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? I added the word special. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous from my ancestral traditions. Look at what he said. He said, I was advancing in Judaism. Paul supervised the killing of Stephen. The man was learned. He thought he was making progress in life. You know what? The man was advancing so hard, it took God to stop him. God had to knock him off his horse. Look at what he says. Next verse. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, that was his purpose. That was what he was supposed to advance in. He was supposed to advance in what? The preaching of the gospel. But what was he advancing in? In Judaism. God had to stop him. So I'm just showing you that you can even advance in religious setting and you're not making progress in God. Because there's progress in religion. You can walk the tongue and walk your way to the top. But that's not what God wants you to do. Are you following this? You know, sometimes people have told me, and I think I've explained in this church, you know, people have told me sometimes, you know, a pastor should be with the local church. That's the role of a shepherd. But I'm not just a pastor. There is an apostolic grace in my life for the nations. And God would hold me responsible if the body of Christ don't get fed what is put in me. And I'm conscious of that all the time. I'm conscious of my assignment to the local church, feeding the sheep of God, and I'm conscious of my assignment to the nations in the apostolic. And that's how you should live. You should know what your assignment is. You know, even when the Lord called him, God said he should go to the Gentiles, right? Come on, let's read that. It says, to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among what? Come on, church, I didn't hear you. We'll close soon. I'll preach him among what? The Gentiles. But do you know Paul had so much zeal for his own people? He said, I wish I can even be born for them. And you know what? He attempted to preach to the Jews. Every time Paul went to the Jews, he was beaten. Every single time. Because the Lord didn't send him there. So your passion can lead you where God is not sending you. So we're not talking about what you are passionate about. We're talking about what is God asking you to do. And this thing is not a mystery. It's simple. If you choose to follow God one day at a time. Praise God. You know, sometimes we go into countries and then we've got some miracles, and then sometimes people ask me, how do you get these things? I don't struggle to do these things. We got into Kenya in 2 weeks, and we got 2 stations offered to put us on TV for free. Never went to consult any of them. The last day I was coming back, someone met with me, set up an appointment with me, and said, I heard the reports of your meetings, and when you're doing these meetings next year, we're going to give you 2 slots in the biggest television stations in Kenya. We want you to preach for 15 minutes, and then we'll give you 10 minutes to talk about the program that you came for. You have to pay for that. Once you're in the center of God's will, you can trust that God will look after you. You can trust that God will preserve you. And listen to me, saints of God, we don't need to raise Christians who are ashamed of obeying God. You need to tell people, this is what God wants me to do in my life, and I'm committed to it without apologies. We can't hide behind the screen and just watch people who are not obeying God push us to feel like if you're obeying God, then there's something wrong with you. No, 1,000 times no. There's a boldness about Christianity that's in my heart that should be restored. You can't feel weird about not having a boyfriend. You can't feel weird about not having a girlfriend. You can't advance in destiny living by the world standard. You know, for some people, how far we can go away from sin. It's like, how close can we get and then we'll not get to hell? We just push the boundaries. It's just like, can I do this one? No. You know why people just ask funny questions? When the Bible says the wine is the wine, fermented wine, because if you look at wine, go and drink. You want to drink? Go and just say you want to drink. Don't now come and carry scriptures, and all you are concerned about from Genesis to Revelation is the wine scripture. God says, go into the world and preach the gospel. You don't see anything there. Everywhere you are looking for is which one can you manage to come out? Is tight Old Testament or New Testament? Because if God has delivered us, I'm actually thinking, hold your money. Oh, I love what, I don't know whether that's a good thing, but I love what the pastor did. He's got this guy who was giving in the church, and was trying to, just mess up and control stuff. And the pastor asked the accountant, should do a refund. So the man started getting his money back. So he called pastor, what's going on? He said, we've decided to refund you everything you've given. Go and look for a church you can function. I love that. Because the time has to come where God governs in the church, not money. Did you hear that? Where it's the Holy Spirit that's leading us. Not even if we have money to do something. If we have the money to do something, we must ask the Lord if that's what he wants us to do. It's not the lack of money or the abundance of money that leads a man. It's what is God saying. Listen, we need to come back to the foundation of Christianity again and teach the sovereignty of God, that when we become born again, children of God, Jesus is Lord and he governs. He leads. He rules. And that we are open to obey the Lord. Come on, are you still here? This is a good message to get you ready for Christmas. What does God want you to do next year? It's not even whether you have the money for it or not. It's submitting to his lordship. Advancing. See, Paul says, I would advance in Judaism. But you know what I like about Paul? when he found out why he was called, he brought that same passion into his assignment. Oh, come on. In the year that we're entering into, don't walk around passionless people. Don't walk around sad, depressed people. You know, some people always feel that the weight of the world is on their shoulders. They are always having problems. Praise God. Last scripture, Acts 13, 36. Have you learned anything tonight? Make sure you're back here on Wednesday to finish it. Because Sunday you're going to be dancing. Sunday is Thanksgiving. So we're going to be dancing. Then when you finish dancing, come back here on Wednesday again. You can come with your native attire on Wednesday. Acts 13, 36. Praise God. Acts 13, 36. Come on, I love God's word. For David, look at this scripture. This is where we're going to end. We'll pick it up from here on Wednesday. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. The first line, he served the purpose of God in his own generation. How would you like for that to be written when you pass on? That this man served God's purpose. This is good. Think of that scripture, Acts 13, 36. Don't ever forget it. There's a purpose. You know, we're entering next year. Anxiety of goal setting will soon come. You know, some people, the greatest time they feel depressed is when they take stock of their life. 12 months. What have I achieved? Hi. Look at my mates. I went to another year. You know, some people don't like to get to their birthdays. You know, there's something called relative poverty. There was a time we studied poverty in school. It wasn't a good thing, but there's... You know what's relative poverty? Relative poverty means that no matter how rich you are poor compared to someone else. So let me give you an example. Who's the richest man in our country, for instance? I know our figures might not be straight because there are people who are rich and their money is in sewage pits. The ones that at least can come out with their money, right? We'd say Dangote. Am I right? We could say Dangote. Now, who's the richest man in the world now? Is it Elon Musk? He's the richest man now, right? Okay. So, between Dangote and Elon Musk, who is poorer? Dangote. But you know, if they ask you to choose the poverty of Dangote, do you get my example now? If they say, how many of you want to receive the poverty of Dangote? You won't even say, I want to receive. You see, people are raising their hand. Even in the example, people have participated just in case pastor's word come to pass. Lord, remember me. Do you get my point? So, that's what you call what? Relative poverty. That means, as you are here now, you are somebody's prayer point. The person who is squatting is praying to have his own bacha. So, to the man, he sees you as having your own house. To you, you see the man with one room, block house, as rich. The man with block house is seeing the two bedroom. Can you see where all of us are? So all you need to know to be grateful is that the line you are standing, at least you are not the last man on the line. There's somebody behind you. Let's pray. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you cause your word to go deep down in our hearts. Lord, our commitment to you is that this year and the year that is coming, we want to stay on the right path. We want to fulfill purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.